This autumn, grab a scarf, kick up some leaves, and enjoy SEAT's beautifully created Autumn Drive. Until the 30th of November, you can get a new Ibiza SE technology for just £9,995. That's a saving of £3,160. Plus, we'll give you an extra £500 off on top of all existing offers when you test drive any new SEAT. Exclusions and T's and C's apply. Saving based on list price. Offer valid until 30th of November. Find out more at seat.co.uk.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to 20 Yard End Zone. I'm Russ Cohen. We've got Paolo Del Rio, and it looks like we're going to go live to the emergency room with Footloose, who may be 1 foot short. Gentlemen, how are you?
The foot's really loose today.
Extra loose.
It happens. It happens. You're gutting it
out.
It
happens.
We do want to...
Thanks for toughing it out for us, Footloose.
We want to wish Canada a happy day because thanks to Buck Showalter, who is basically the Pete Carroll of baseball, they live on. They move on to play the Texas Rangers. Big win. I can never explain the actions of Buck Showalter. I wouldn't even try.
I can't believe
you.
I PVR'd the game. I can't believe you blew it for me.
Yeah, sorry. I know. Because nobody's talking about it in Canada.
Actually, I watched it this morning before I went in.
When you have a relief pitcher that is perfect on the season, you should really not use him in the most important game of the year, right? That's a good strategy.
Well, you know, the funny thing is that everybody was like, oh, I can't believe they didn't start Francisco Liriano. You know, he's a left-hander. The Orioles can't hit left-handers. It was controversial, and then Liriano ends up winning the game. So,
yeah,
there you go.
No, he looked good, and look, Encarnacion's a beast. We know that. So, anyhow, congrats to the Blue Jays. We'll move on. I'm crossing my fingers for the Mets today. But Footloose, apparently the Argos have been busy.
Well, you know what? I think the Argos are kind of relieved because the focus on the Blue Jays might take some of the scrutiny off of what's gone on there this week. Two things. First, they released all of their starting wide receivers. They just cleaned house. They gave the receiving corps an enema, and then they named Drew Willey their starting quarterback from here on in, whereas, you know, what will happen with Ricky Ray. The receivers that were cut, Torrey Gurley, Vidal Hazelton, Kevin Elliott, Phil Bates, three of those guys should land anywhere in the CFL. But again, the problems with them were, from what's been cited in the media, were disciplinary, they were attitude-related. You know, we don't really know because we're not in the room what really went on
right there.
Somebody made a comment anonymously that, you know, the bright lights in the big city brings a lot of temptations away from the football field, and some pointed fingers at that. But I think Milanovic is a no-nonsense guy, and I think that he just wanted to start from scratch.
It's all losing-related, though, right, Paolo? Like, once you're losing, then these things matter. When you're winning, they don't matter as much.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely bang on, Russ. I saw a post-game interview with Milanovic, and he was, you know, smoke coming out of his ears, red-faced. I know he's a pretty intense guy, but yeah, he was really not happy, particularly. Actually, he didn't call out the receiving corps in particular. He did call out players that, you know, maybe weren't as dedicated, were showing up late, weren't doing things the right way, didn't have the right attitude. Those are, you know, some of the words that he used. So I think people were expecting something significant to happen. you know, cutting his, as you say, his starting receiving core. That's a big move, especially, again, we've talked about it before, but especially in a Grey Cup year where, you know, where Toronto is the host and would love to be making the playoffs. This is definitely not helping their cause, that's for sure.
Yeah, they don't get the Memorial Cup bye that or you know, play in or whatever you want to call it, post automatic
right.
Post game, right? They don't do that
yeah.
in the CFL. So that's a shame. It looks like the Red Blacks signed a couple guys to the practice roster, Footloose. Looks like without controversy too.
You know, they seem to have got it right as far as that goes. But yeah, you know, I mean, there's guys coming and going every day, and you know, you follow the transactions, and there's not a day that goes by without it. And when you have a large practice roster, you're going to have guys coming and going all the time and coming and going. You know, they need depth. They need depth in their defensive secondary. They need depth at running back. They need depth. Well, they've had depth in their kicking game, but nobody has seemed to be able to step up and steal the job and secure it. So yeah,
to me, this
would
be a great cover to go with the border, you know, for Border Patrol. Like if I drive up in the car and they say, you know, what's your business? Well, you know, the Hamilton Bulldogs just signed me. I gotta go there. I'm on the practice squad. They, you know, be like, hey, okay, you're good, eh?
Well, you know what's funny?
Like,
I'll tell you a story about that. There's a buddy of mine I went to high school who's a Border Patrol guy, and he's in charge of getting the athletes across the border, whether it be from
okay.
the Binghamton Senators to Ottawa, whether it be from you know, American guys coming up with their paperwork and their visas to come play for the Red Blacks. And when it was the Rough Riders, or maybe it was the Renegades, I can't remember, but do you remember the guy from Michigan State that had, I think his name was Underwood?
Yeah,
he was a defensive lineman, and he had a criminal record, and I don't know whether there was something violent happened, whatever. But I remember him telling me one day that he was scrambling like hell to get this guy across the border and to play, and how much you know, how much work it is with some of these guys, because he was telling me that he said you wouldn't believe some of the guys that they have come across. Some of them have like two or three different names. Some of them have felonies. Some of them have misdemeanors. Like it's amazing how much paperwork it is to get some of these guys across. So there was a guy named Rufus Crawford that played in the CFL in the 80s. He was a pretty big star running back and slot back. And Rufus was cut from the Seattle Seahawks, got a call from his agent. And he was telling me the story one day about how he ended up going to the Blue Bombers first. He ended up in Hamilton, but he got a call from his agent and literally said, go to the airport in the next 2 hours. You're going to Winnipeg. And at customs, they asked him, why are you here? He says, I'm here to play football. And they said, oh, yeah, who are you playing for? And he said, the Winnipegs. He didn't even know the name of the team until he got there. And Rufus is a great guy.
That's so 80s, though. Like Rufus, it's like that's such a Studio 54 story right there. I like it.
Yeah. Well, the Winnipegs are looking pretty good right now. But.
It was Demetrius Underwood was the player.
Oh yeah, I do remember that name.
Yeah, Ottawa Renegades, 2005. Yeah.
Yeah, so it was Renegades, not Rough Riders. I was getting my decades mixed up because I'm 100 years old. So,
all right. So Henry Burris set a record, set a completion mark in the game. He just keeps going, Footloose. It's amazing.
Did you get that off Twitter, Russ?
Yeah,
I did.
Did you check the year?
Yeah.
It just happened 2 hours
ago. I'm having a deja vu, guys. I don't know what it is.
If it says it happened 2 hours ago, I mean, I figured it just happened. Oh, well. He must have said it at
We'd
some
like
point
to thank
in his career,
our listeners
though.
From Saskatchewan for posting yeah. random stuff on Twitter so that Russ picks it up.
Just to foil Russ. Yeah, exactly.
Well, you know, I'm going to risk this one. It looks like that the Saskatchewan Rough Riders have signed linebacker Henock Muamba.
He's a great player.
And I'm going to
That's a big
I'm going to ask
him.
I'm going to tell him congratulations on being signed. That's what I'm going to do.
By the way, Russ, President Kennedy was shot.
It's not on Twitter, so I don't know about that.
Yeah. It was more than 2 hours ago, but yeah, it did happen.
Henock Muamba. That's on our all named. We have to keep track of our all named team. That's got to be on there. Lucius Purifoy definitely on there.
Hightower.
Yeah, that's a great one too. Muamba is a great linebacker, a Canadian. He was, I think he was with the Colts in preseason and was just released, and Saskatchewan picked him up, and they also picked up Willie Jefferson, who played defensive end and went down to try his hand at the NFL, and they picked up Jeff Fuller, a receiver that Toronto's probably wishing they would have signed. Right now, Fuller was also trying to make his way in the NFL, so you know, great move for Saskatchewan. They really look like they're turning around and becoming a competitive team. They're totally not out of the playoffs, but they're not a rollover victory like they were early in the year. So it'll be really interesting to see when they come into Ottawa Friday night what they bring to the table. And you know, when you have nothing to lose, you know, there's no pressure on them. They're not in the playoffs, so they're really a team that can be one of those teams that you don't want to face at this time of the year, because it's a win you should get, but it's not going to be an easy one.
Paolo, what do you think about the signing?
He's a big CFL name. I mean, you know, like we talk about, he's a Canadian guy. He's got NFL experience. He's, you know, had a couple cups of coffee now. As Footloose mentioned, the Colts earlier this year. I believe he was with the Cowboys earlier in the year. Now, it has been reported that the Riders have signed him, but I've seen other reports where
it's on CFL News Feed.
Yeah, it was reputable sources for sure. So it's very likely that he's signed there.
Okay.
I guess at the time we're doing this right now, at least his agent is putting it out there that there are still other teams in the mix. So I don't know if it's 100% done or not. But yeah, they're rumored to be one or two other teams trying to sign the guy. So, you know, adding that kind of Canadian talent at this point in the year, I mean, you know, who wouldn't want a guy like that? And he's gone through, you know, he's played on a couple of teams now. Funny thing with Muamba last year was a similar situation where he was in an NFL camp. Ultimately, he basically went on a tour of Canada, you know, basically met with every team trying to sign him. Ultimately signed with Montreal, got in a few games with the Alouettes towards the tail end of last year, and signed a two-year deal. They then cut him before training camp started. I guess he was due some big bonus, and the Alouettes had salary cap issues, so they went and cut him. So, you know, maybe the strange reality of the CFL a little bit and the salary cap requirements that teams have to work under, but there's no question he's a difference maker, a difference making player, a great ad, especially the fact that he's a Canadian. So, wish him luck wherever he ends up.
He's going to make a big difference too, though, because he's a guy that's going to register 8 to 10 tackles a game. He's going to shut down the run. He's a good cover guy. I mean, he's totally going to change the complexion of that defense. And Russ, if you want to check Twitter, Montreal has signed Lawrence Phillips. So Lawrence Phillips going to the Alouettes. That's a big one.
Yeah, that's some bad taste. I'm not going to go there. I see the Ravens just released Justin Forsett. Now, I kind of wonder if that guy will go to the CFL. But here's an interesting thing. So the score.com, they put veteran rusher I have to say, he's a running back. When you put rusher, you're sort of leading people to believe he might be a defensive tackle. So, like, you know, the football jargon's a little off there north of the border on that website.
Yeah, not off, just a little bit different, right?
Well, I mean, do you call a running back a rusher? Is that are we in the 1920s? Is this proper jargon, Footloose? I mean,
I don't know, Russ. Did they have Twitter in the 1920s? I don't get it.
No, but if they did, they would call him a running back.
Yeah, well,
Elroy
Justin Forsett is on my fantasy team. He's on the Prescott Fighting Amish, and we have no starting running backs. Thank you, Auto Draft at Yahoo. You know, Justin Forsett and Rawls from San and Alfred Morris. They're my three running backs. So brutal.
I'm saying this in the memory of Elroy Crazy Legs Hirsch, that, you know, you call him a halfback or a running back, not a rusher.
Yeah, because when you think of rusher, I think of, like, Anwar Stewart, somebody coming off the end on defense.
Yeah, it's just a little captioning thing. You know, I'm just, you know, something to point out. Everybody is putting up this Henry Burris thing. So, you know, I stepped in it, but I got to tell you, it's making its way around.
Hashtag prank Russ.
Yeah.
You can't totally blame me on this one.
Yeah. Which Twitter account are you looking at? Is that On This Day or something?
Like, no, Twitter
of,
Live. Like, stuff that's supposed to be happening live.
Yeah, okay. All right.
Like, we're live, Twitter's live, too. But apparently not.
But Henry Burris has definitely been, you know, a record-setting backup quarterback this year. He's a record-setting teammate for being a backup at 41 years old. Not sure if he's the oldest of all time, but definitely, I don't know, definitely a good guy. I'm totally reaching here, guys, but why don't we talk about Trevor Harris and his 485 yards passing against BC.
What do you think about that, Footloose? That's a pretty big mark.
That was probably the best CFL game I've seen this year, was the Ottawa BC game Friday night. It was just back and forth. There was 50 points scored in the first half. There was no defense whatsoever. It looked like an NBA All-Star game for a while. And then everything tightened up in the second half. And it was basically going to be last team to have possession of the ball wins. But here's the thing that, kind of watching Ottawa over the last couple of years, if Coach Campbell has an Achilles heel, it's been his clock management in the fourth quarter in the last couple of minutes. And here's a situation where they probably should have won this game if two things would have happened. First of all, BC punts the ball. Instead of letting it roll into the end zone, concede a single point, don't let any time run off the clock, get the ball at the 35. You're down by two. You have two or three first downs to make you kick a field goal and win. So you end up returning the play, running maybe 10 seconds off the clock, and you get the ball at, you know, inside your 15-yard line. The other thing is timeout situation. BC's in punt formation, and they let 20 seconds run off the clock. Ottawa has an opportunity to call a timeout. Plus, they burned a timeout on a reach challenge play, which they had no chance of winning. So just, you know, they replay that, run the clock properly. They've got the ball at the 35 with 50 seconds left, easy to get downfield against a prevent defense and kick a field goal.
All right,
especially with their
receiving
core.
Footloose and then Paolo, we could all chat about this. What is so hard about clock management? Because we all watch at home, and we're all saying, call timeout, call timeout, call timeout. They don't do it. Too much time is going off. Is there just too much chaos in the headset? Is there too much going on in the field, too many bodies blocking the coach's view, too much for the coach to do? Like, Andy Reid doesn't even do clock management anymore. He got so bad at it, he has another coach do that. So he doesn't even have to do it. But I remember Rich Kotite, there are a lot of coaches that seem, like, confused about it. Or is there just too much going on?
I think it's a little bit of a lot going on combined. You know, they're focusing on X's and O's and play calling, but a lot of it has to do with with an experience. The clock management in the Canadian game is different. In the last 3 minutes,
That's right. I forget. Time is different in Canada.
We have metric time. We have 100 minutes in a second and 100 seconds.
It's 11:19 here in New Jersey.
10 months.
What time is it? What time is it by you?
Febtober.
Okay.
Something. Because we have that 10-month calendar up
right.
here. And Russ, you should see what our McDonald's are like here. We have like McMoose and McSeal and all kinds of stuff. I mean, it's very different
McSeal
up here.
McSeal does not surprise me.
In the last 3 minutes of the half, we have stopped time. So if it's a play where it's an incomplete pass or out of bounds, the clock starts on the next snap. If it's a play where the play is tackled inbounds, it starts on the huddle again, and it's a 20-second clock. So it's different timing than the NFL and in American football. But you have situations where you have two timeouts instead of three in Canada. So he's shown time and time again in the last couple of minutes of the game poor clock management because, again, is it a priority and focus for him in pregame prep? Maybe not. Maybe his assistants should be in his ear more. Maybe they're so focused on X's and O's that the clock is an afterthought. But we've seen it happen before, and the clock certainly beat them against BC. They should have won that game.
Okay. And, Pella, what do you think? Do you get mad when you see, like, teams just wasting the clock? I get it when a player screws up, right? Coach doesn't have any control of that, but coaches certainly have control over when a quarterback should have the play ahead of time, maybe two or three plays ahead of time, whether he should know whether to spike the ball, whether he should know. Like, it does get maddening for a viewer.
Yeah, absolutely it does. I think the other piece to this that we miss, Footloose mentioned that is only the two timeouts up here. And then you factor in the challenges, right? Whether you want to be hanging on to that challenge, and if it's not successful, you're burning that timeout. So yeah, two timeouts for a half of football, and having to worry about when you throw the little hanky out of the coach's pocket. Maybe it is a little bit too much for one coach to. With a head coach to manage himself. Maybe Andy Reid was on, had it right in getting another coach to manage that side of things because, as viewers, it looks easy. We don't hear what's in the headset. We don't know what's going on the sidelines. Pretty easy for stuff like that to get missed. And in this case, absolutely, it's a one-point game, and we're talking about 30 seconds on the clock, in this Ottawa BC game, 30 seconds on the clock and probably 15 to 20 yards of the difference on the field. So yeah, it's such an important part of the game that having another coach look after it seems like the logical next step.
One thing, if I can add too, you talk about what's going on in the headset, and this is. Kind of something that goes on behind the scenes that a lot of fans may not know, but out of the off-field officials, probably the most stressful job by far is the switch operator on the headsets. And what happens is when a play is over, the headset is turned on, the coaches in the booth can talk to the quarterback through his headset. The 20-second start clock starts. With 10 seconds left, the switches are turned off. And if there's ever a situation where you see the quarterback look at his bench and start banging on his ears, that usually means that there's a communication issue where the switch was inactive or whatever. You see that from time to time
right.
in a game, but the time is so the game is so instant and sudden. In the NFL, you have the 40-second clock. Here you have 20 seconds, and man, the play calling and everything has to be instant. So yeah, it can be very distracting, and having an extra coach looking at clock management would be a great idea for a team to employ that.
Okay.
So well, maybe the old style phone operator, is that what you're saying, Footloose? Like the old style phone operator sticking the one thing and the one.
Lily Tomlin on the world. Of course, Russ
Tomlin.
And I are old enough to know who Lily Tomlin is. All who doesn't know.
Yes. Google her.
I barely do. Barely. Yeah.
According to Twitter, he is the number one show in the country right now. So.
All right, but here's the thing. So looking on Twitter, I did see come across something interesting. At Commish 13, do you guys know who that is? It's your CMO commissioner. Look, even Kyle.
Oh, yeah, of course.
There's Sam Echeverry, the dog, in the background.
Jeffrey Orridge, hopefully I pronounced that right, has said that they will be a CFL video game before the end of the year. What do you guys think
about
that?
That's amazing news. That's amazing news. Absolutely amazing news. That's what the league needs to reach out to the young people and market. And,
yeah.
I think that's
great.
We
were talking about this like a week ago. It's like they listened to us. Of course, the game has to probably have been in development for the last 2 years, but, you know.
Did we talk about Kent and Keith? I'm pretty sure it was Kent and Keith.
Was he on Dancing with the Stars?
No, the running back that played for Saskatchewan and then the Colts. I'm pretty sure it was Kent and Keith, but what happens with EA Sports and the video games is they hire players, a lot of them semi-pro players, to come down and they run plays for 3 weeks with all these things attached to them, and that's where a lot of the video game footage is shot. And Kent and Keith was actually signed at one of these things. There was a scout there, and he called up the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. You've got to check this running back out. And next thing you know, that was his foot in the door in the Canadian Football League. So if it wasn't Kent and Keith, I apologize. I know it was a Saskatchewan Rough Rider running back. I'm pretty sure it was him. But I just thought that was really interesting how, you know, what goes on behind the scenes at these games. But brilliant idea.
I mean, EA is in Vancouver. And I did get to go there once, and I did get to see them filming Madden, and I did see a football player, you know, all hooked up, basically going through some moves. And so it was kind of interesting to see that in the studio. It was like a big studio. And so, yeah, I mean, I think it's great for the league. I think everybody will be interested in it. And I kind of wonder if it's a company like EA or if it's somebody else. So, you know. We'll keep an eye on that.
Temco.
There've been some rumors of the video game coming out. I think the development right now is in the hands of a Canadian company. They're obviously not giving out much detail. But yeah, the wheels are definitely continue to be in motion.
It's not CSE Games, though. Can we confirm that? It's not CSE Games.
It was the company that did the animation for Rocket Robin Hood. Wouldn't that be
That would be pretty awesome. It's cool, actually. Fans have, for the last several years, come to find out, they've been basically modifying their versions of Madden to essentially create, a CFL version of Madden. So they design the uniforms, they update rosters, they share it within, you know, kind of their network of gaming, I don't know, fans and friends. So, I mean, you know, it's obviously a small but definitely a passionate group of fans that have kind of kept a little bit of momentum, I suppose, going with the CFL video game. So for them and, I mean, everybody else who has thought it was kind of a no-brainer, you know, piece of marketing or, you know, something to sell to the fan base, it's going to be awesome. And, you know.
We do have breaking news, Penton Kirk has said that the Muamba deal runs through 2018.
There you go. So we are confirmed going to Saskatchewan.
So it is a legit thing, and, you know, you guys could stop
working. Bad news for Ottawa and any other team that was in the running, but like I say, it's always nice to see a Canadian athlete, you know, a Canadian football player come back to the league and getting a couple-year contract is nice for him. But back to the video game, yeah, I mean, people are excited, and I think they're gonna sell a bunch of these. You know, again, just another chance for fans, whether it's north of the border or south of the border, to see, well, obviously they're CFL favorites, but also they're alma mater guys, right? They're college favorites. They're the people, the players they grew up watching when they were young. So
here's a question. Here's a question for you guys. This will obviously be a big hit for Boxing Day, but what day is like Canadian Hanukkah?
February 73rd in our metro calendar.
I'm just asking, is it the same day as Hanukkah in the States?
Yes, it is, Russ.
It is. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
We have that confirmed?
Yeah.
Yeah, it is the same.
That's confirmed, yeah.
Eight crazy
okay.
nights
Happy
up here, too.
By the way.
Well, listen, we're going to wrap things up here. We wish Footloose well in his convalescing and thank him for his service here and getting the show going under extreme circumstances and lack of sleep.
Do we have time for trivia?
We do have time for trivia. We'll go into like 2 minutes overtime. We'll let everybody know, check the OT for the trivia, but go ahead, yeah.
Okay, last week's answer, the question was who's the only BCS winning quarterback to play in the CFL? The answer is Chris Leak.
Okay.
From the University of Florida, played for the Alouettes. This week's question, in 1985, what Calgary QB became only the third player in team history to pass for more than 500 yards, doing it in only his second CFL start?
Carson Wentz.
2005.
No, that's not the answer.
You're looking at Twitter again.
I thought he was...
yeah.
Interesting. All right. Well, that's a good question. We hope people will chime in with the answer. I certainly don't know the answer. I was thinking Craig Morton, but, you know, probably not. And that's it. We're going to wrap it up for a 20-yard end zone, and we'll do it all again next week.
Dream of owning your own home? The government's Help to Buy shared ownership scheme could open the door for you. Buy as little as 25% or as much as 75% of a home and pay rent on the rest. And if you want, you can increase your share at any point and pay less rent. With shared ownership, we've already helped over 40,000 people become homeowners. To open the door to your dream, visit helptobuy.gov.uk.